We're turning this evening to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. The book of Numbers, chapter 16. Fairly lengthy chapter, and we're going to commence reading at verse 41. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let's briefly bow in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, in the precious name of thy Son, we come to thee. Pray for thy power and thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word, to cry that the message of the gospel may be clear and plain and simple, direct and dynamic. We pray, our God, that thy Holy Spirit will take of the things concerning Christ and reveal them unto men. We need to meet with the Lord tonight. Lord, take away every hindering thing. Remove from us, O God, all that which would stand between us and the blessing. Cleanse this vessel. And, O Lord, enable this preacher to preach Christ as a dying man to dying men and women. O Lord, hear us now and grant that the result of our gathering in the saving of souls, in the restoration of backsliders, in the reviving of thy church, will be great glory to the name of our Redeemer. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The 48th verse of Numbers chapter 16 speaks of Aaron the high priest, and it says he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. A bloodthirsty mob is never a pretty sight. to be the object of the hatred, even of a small crowd, is both fearful and unnerving. In Numbers 16, we read of a mob who gathered against Moses and Aaron. This mob was bloodthirsty enough, but it certainly was not small. Indeed, it would appear that a great proportion of the 3 million people that made up the little nation of Israel had gathered against Moses and Aaron and were madly screaming for their lives. This was the culmination of a great rebellion in Israel. First, a branch of the tribe of Levi with designs on the priesthood that was given peculiarly to the house of Aaron. A branch of the tribe of Levi joined with a faction of the tribe of Reuben, who imagined that because Reuben had been the firstborn son of Jacob, the priesthood ought by right to belong to their tribe. And though these groups had very, very different aims in what they were doing, nonetheless, they were willing to sink their differences, at least until a later time, and make a concerted effort to wreck the Aaronic priesthood and to oppose the work and witness of the two great men that God had placed at the head of the nation, Moses and Aaron. Then the Lord gave his answer. It's always an important thing to get God's answer on any controversy. The Lord was very quick to give his response. First of all, he slew Korah, who was of the tribe of Levi, Dathan and Abiram, who were of the tribe of Reuben. With them, he slew their immediate kin as the earth opened up and swallowed them. And then he sent fire out from the sanctuary and slew immediately 250 men who had taken censers and were standing in opposition to the word and work of God. He has a wonderful description of those men. I was just considering it yesterday and today. I think it's a text that sometime I'm sure to preach on. It certainly has all the marks of a text that needs to be preached. He describes these sinners, these men, as sinners against their own souls. And for their sin, they were incinerated by the awful wrath of God. Now really you would think that such a slaughter, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all their family, them 250 leading men from the children of Israel, that such a slaughter would have settled the matter, and that the children of Israel would have at last got the lesson that rebellion does not pay. But no, we read on, and we find that rebel they did, and with a vengeance. We find in our Bible reading that again, the whole bloodthirsty mob sets out to revenge itself on God's servants. Very frequently that's the case. When the Lord does something, men afraid to put into words their actual hatred of God will turn upon the instrument of God in his service. Certainly that's what here was happening. Crying for the blood of Moses and Aaron, until wrath again went out from the Lord and a plague was begun in the people.
I want you to try and envisage that vast concourse of people. As I say, probably around 3 million people in that whole camp of Israel. And from one end of it, there starts a plague. And it would in some ways remind you of the rolling front of a great prairie fire. And as it goes, it slays. So that 14,700 men were smitten and killed. As soon as that plague began, Moses, recognizing the awful situation, turned to Aaron and he says, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation. Make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Once Aaron complied, we read that he ran into the midst of the congregation. Verse 47. He did all that was needed. Then we read in our text, he stood between the dead and the living. Where Aaron stood, the plague was stayed. At the point where Aaron took his stand, death came to a halt. Before him, there was a great sea of corpses. He was willing to count it all for naught. And instead of that, he was willing to embrace the awful agony and shame of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, the hymn writer said, down from the shining seats above, with joyful haste he fled, entered the grave in mortal flesh, and dwelt among the dead. All his willingness to save. I want to tell you something. There's not a sinner in this meeting who will ever go to hell and look God Almighty in the face and look the Lord Jesus in the eye and say, I am here because I wanted to come to Christ and you were not willing to receive. Oh, what a heart. What boundless love. The willingness of Christ to save. Notice very quickly the way of the Lord in saving men from sin. Aaron is the picture of Christ. He obeyed the command of Moses. The Lord Jesus, Galatians 4 verse 4, was made of a woman made under the law. He obeyed the law to the letter. He kept that whole law. Then he stood in the place of death. He stood in the place of death. The picture that I gave you of Aaron a little earlier, I think, is a wonderful description of Christ, who through death destroyed him that had the power of death, who, as it were, stood forth like Aaron, and addressed death and said, you must do battle with God's high priest. You must destroy me. If ever you would destroy these people, on their behalf I stand forth. On their behalf I satisfy God. On their behalf I meet every demand of God's law. On their behalf I bear all the pain of God's punishment. I personally, says the high priest, I personally stand in the place of death. And only if death overcomes me can it ever overcome these people. That's the Savior. On Calvary there was a day when he, as it were, took that censer, and when he stood to make atonement for the sins of his people. There was a day when he challenged death and hell and defeated them. There was a day when he bore all the wrath of God that was our due, making atonement, satisfying God, reconciling the sinner, removing wrath completely, and thus effecting our full salvation. I want you to see this picture, for this is God's way of saving sinners. God's way is to save them by Christ. That censer with the sweet incense on it, that censer speaks of the merits of Christ's person and work. I haven't time to deal with the type in any detail, but such was the incense that its fragrance only could ascend because of the action of the fire upon it. The Lord Jesus does not save us by the virtue of the example of a sinless life. The virtue and the merit that alone can save ascended to God solely by the action of the fire of the wrath of God. That censer, therefore, lifted up to God is Christ lifting up his merit, and saying, Father, on this merit, deliver these souls from death. Yet there are men and women, and they still cling to that foolish notion that they can see God placated without the merits of Christ. That somehow or other, if they lift up their censer, the fragrance of their works, their prayers, their religion, their decisions, their efforts, they lift up their censer and they think that God will be satisfied. Men and women, it was that very sin that called forth the wrath of God. It was because 250 men lifted up their censer that God smote them and burned them with the fire of hell. It's still the same. You're lifting up the censer and the fragrance and the merit of your life, your work, your good deeds, your giving, your serving, your praying, your baptism, your anything, then God looks on you as he looks on those 250 men, and he'll burn you with the wrath of God. But oh, if tonight you're hiding in Christ alone, and if you have no merit but the merit of the Savior, if your trust is in no one save in that lonely high priest who is standing absolutely alone between death and his people, between the wrath of God and his people, if you're trusting only in Jesus, then know this, that death and the curse and hell and wrath can never get past Christ. It's at that point that they're all extinguished. That is the merit. That is the merit that means everything to God. The same truth from a slightly different picture in Exodus 12. When I see the blood of the Lamb, I'll pass over you. It's always Christ, the only Savior, who alone stands between God's hell and his people. That's God's way of saving sinners. Remember,
what I've said many times in this pulpit, I've given you a definition of faith. A lot of people get tied up in knots over what faith is. There have been many very learned treatises on the nature of saving faith. Some of them good, some of them may well never have been written. But you know, an old Scottish theologian summed it all up. The more I think of it, the more I wish I had had the genius to first come up with this definition of what faith really is. He said, saving faith is nothing more than a hearty acceptance of God's way of saving sinners. Very simple. But think it through. Faith is just heartily accepting God's way of saving sinners. That was what was wrong with these people. They wanted God's salvation, but in some other way. God's way is through the interposition of Christ the High Priest. Men and women, faith heartily accepts Christ plus nothing and trusts Him entirely to save for eternity. Finally, let me point out to you the warning of the Lord about salvation from sin. Aaron stood between the dead and the living. If that is not a warning, I don't know the meaning of the word. That day, Aaron was the great divide between death and life, between hell and heaven. On the one side of him were heaps and heaps of corpses, 14,700 dead men. On one side of Aaron, all death, no exceptions. On the other side of Aaron, all life, without exception. Death had no power. That's the way it is with Christ. He stands as the great divider. He is tonight in this meeting the great divider. On the one side of Christ, death. Death and sin. The other side of Christ, life. But he's not only the divider now, he'll be the divider on the judgment day. Matthew 13 is a division of tares from wheat. Matthew 25, there's a division of goats from sheep. Do you notice? It's Christ in the midst. Matthew 25, he says to those on his left hand, depart from me. He says to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. It is Christ in the midst, the great divider. My friend, the warning is clear and plain and simple. Sin is real. Sin is deadly. The wrath of God is real. That retribution of God against sin is totally unavoidable outside of Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight where you stand in relation to Him. That's the question of all questions. Where do you stand in relation to Him?
people in the same family, divided by Christ. A husband going to heaven and a wife to hell. Parents going to heaven and children to hell. People in the same church, sitting in the same pews, with all the same advantages, but divided by Christ. Where do you stand in relation to the Lord Jesus? I trust as we end this meeting, that like John Bunyan of old, you'll come to that place that he described as somewhat ascending, the hill crag called Calvary, and that there you'll see God's high priest standing between the dead and the living, and by the grace of God, I trust that you'll hide in Christ. Hide from the plague of the wrath of God in Christ. Trust him. Make sure you're rightly related to him. That's the only thing that matters. Make sure tonight that ere you leave this building, your hope is grounded solidly in the person, in the atonement, in the merit of Jesus Christ alone. May God grant it. And as far as your home and your family go, may there in truth be no division, because you are all safely in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. We want every head bowed in prayer. We want every eye closed. In just one moment, this meeting will be over, and you'll be free to leave. Remember that rolling wall of death. The wrath of God against sin is real. Remember, it's true of you. There's but a step twixt you and death. That means if you're out of Christ, my friend, there's but a step twixt you and hell. Make sure you come to Christ. Get before him and cry to him to save. One man or woman in this meeting, one young person, you honestly feel the guilt of your sin. God has given you a desire to close with Christ. Then I invite you to come and have a word with me. I can't save you. Thank God I know the one who can. Come and have a word with me. Let's open the book of God together. You come to Christ. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We thank thee for him who stood between the dead and the living and who still does. We thank thee, O Lord, that hiding in Christ, we have no wrath. For thou hast said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou wilt indeed lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that this may be a meeting that will, by the grace of God, be visited with lasting fruit and results. We ask thee, O God, that tonight thou wilt stay the plague from destroying souls.
souls for whom we have prayed, souls over whom tears have been shed before God. Yet, Lord, we plead no merit in the tears. We plead merit only in the blood of Christ. For His sake we pray that Thou wilt stay the plague ere it destroys homes and loved ones, and the souls of men and women gathered here. Answer prayer and bring sinners to Jesus Christ the Savior. Hear our cry and part us with Thy blessing, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which maketh rich and He addeth no sorrow with it. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought people, both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.